Peace, peace, family. Welcome to Gorillas Eat Plants Strength and Conditioning Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kane. I'm delighted today to be able to share my messages and to share my downloads that I receive from the universe and from the Creator as far as what are some ongoing topics that need to be discussed in today's society and culture in relation to nutrition and health, because that's where my passion lies. So today's topic, the gym culture, bro science, you know, the whole fitness industry. We're going to lift the lid on that. We're going to really take a look at that industry. Now, we know that the supplement industry is a $40 to $50 billion industry. We know that the pharmaceutical industry is probably tipping the trillions at this point. They stopped publicly posting or exposing, so to speak, the earnings of the pharmaceutical industry. I only can find dates that they go back to 2015. After that, they cut off all lines of earnings and numbers as far as that's concerned. So with the fitness culture, let's talk about that first. Let's close our eyes for a second. You know, I know many of you are driving to work, or many of you may be at work, but let's close our eyes for a second and let's take a look into the fitness world. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to imagine that we are in our cars. We are pulling up at the gym. We have our bags, you know, our clothes ready to get changed, ready to head in the gym and get our work in. All right. Let's do a visual of what it looks like inside that gym. Okay. So you go in, you check in, you swipe, you know, whatever you do at your fitness club or whatever. And I'm speaking this and I'm walking you through this as I'm someone of the bro culture. All right. So you walk in the gym, and because you didn't put the proper foods in your system that morning or the night before, because most of you don't meal prep. So because you didn't put the proper foods in your system the night before, or you didn't consume anything before workout that would enhance your workout, you have the quick fix. You know, you have this tub of pre-workout that you have purchased. And when you purchased that pre-workout, you felt great because you felt like that pre-workout was gonna enhance my workout. It was gonna make my workout intense. I need that intensity every time I hit the gym, every time. It can't be days when I feel like I don't have energy. I must be at my top, my peak performance. I must carry this pre-workout shake with me. And then they have something called an intra-workout shake. So you drink the pre-workout before you work out. You drink the intra shake during your workout. This keeps your energy sustained throughout your workout. This is bro science. This is bro culture. Some people of that style of thinking and living, they also do a protein shake. So they do a protein. They may do a protein shake as a meal replacement, or many people as of today, you know, they're trying to put on size. So they're trying to build strength. And that word strength, I want to kind of leave that isolated at the back door, because I want to get to that last, because that's going to be something I touch on last. But the whole notion of consuming a protein powder, which all protein powders contain whey, unless you're using a plant protein, which I believe they use legumes as their key source of protein, or peas of some sort. They call it pea protein. So it'd be like pea, literally peas or chickpea protein. I don't believe in those supplements either. So I don't take, I don't do any supplements at all. So I don't believe, I believe that the whole supplement industry is, it's over, it's very much over exaggerated as far as its importance when it comes to getting in shape. You know, what I want us to do, what I want my listeners to begin to pay attention to is mineral content. We will still address macronutrients because I feel like it's a necessary tool that can be used when you're trying to educate society on how to read food labels and nutritional content, ingredients. Because when you start doing macros, you have to now turn that food item over and start, you know, and begin to look at what's in your food item. So for me, I believe that's a great tool because that opens the eye of the client or the individual who is looking to make some changes to their lifestyle. They're trying to become healthy. And you know, the dirty little secret about this fitness industry, this fitness culture, and I'm gonna get back to our vision because we're still in the gym. But the dirty little secret, you know, is that they keep showing you individuals, you know, on social media or on these supplement websites. They show you individuals with these body types that are very much unrealistic to a lot of our age brackets. You know, a lot of you are admiring or following people and you desire to be like this person, and then come find out that you're 20 years older than this person. So now you're following the same nutritional irresponsibilities. You're following the same nutritional irresponsibilities as someone who was probably as of age to be your son or your daughter. But this makes perfect sense to me because if you go back in time, how much did our parents truly know about nutrition based off of what many of us know now? How much did they truly know? You know, they knew to eat your meats, eat your veggies, have your starch. And this is considered to be a balanced, you know, they call it a balanced meal. And you may even have your grains. You know, you got to have your slice of bread. You got to have your grains. So your meal should be balanced. And this is a balanced meal. That's what we were taught. Now we discover that years down the road, that all of those foods that we were told that were considered to be nutritious don't really have a significant mineral content. They have a significant caloric content, and that's where the issue lies. That's where we are having difficulties with losing weight because the food we're consuming has a significant amount of calories, but it's not doing anything for your body in a beneficial manner. It doesn't have any minerals in it. The vitamins are synthesized, so there's no vitamins in it. And the food is full of chemicals, so your body is constantly processing this. This is causing your body to work extra hard. And you're not refueling your body in the scenario that you're burning all this energy. You're not refueling it. You're not putting the proper minerals and nutrients back in it after your body just finished working so hard to get that blood's pH level back up to 7.3 pH. You know, when you eat those chemical foods, your blood level drops. Many of you momentarily are in a level of acidosis while you're working out. You know, a lot of you have these stomach issues and these leaky gut issues during your workouts and training or while you're at home or whatever. We have to realize, you know, what we're putting in our systems. If we're, like I mentioned, if we're using whey, many of you are lactose intolerant. You know, all of us are lactose intolerant because we were not designed to consume cow's milk. Cow's milk was designed for the cattle, for the kid. We start calling our children kids.
We have to begin to go back to calling our children children and only giving them mother's milk. Because if you call your child a kid, remember, those words are powerful. You're calling your child a kid over and over again, you keep feeding it milk, eventually your child's going to turn into a cow. And thinking. And when I say that, look at the size of our children. How big are they? How large are they? How much weight are they gaining? And why are we not paying attention to it? Why is it not a thing of discussion? I saw a fit kids camp. It was in North Carolina or something like that. I forget what state. I think it was in NC. But a fit camp for kids. Think about that. You know, they removed all the recreation centers. So that now the kids have nowhere to go after school to play. So we are beginning to have a situation where you're going to begin to see trainers for children, like seriously, like one-on-one training for children. And at the same time, mom and dad is still unhealthy. So when you put this scenario in a household that's already dealing with some sort of poverty or they're in some type of poverty situation, unfortunately, their health is just slowly diminishing. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And then eventually you just have to turn to consuming prescription drugs to try to bounce back. Because, you know, the thing that happens is your body becomes so toxic that you try to, you know, many of you want to go through the natural path, but you have to allow your body to do a certain level of healing first. And we enhance our healing by consuming alkaline herbs. And the alkaline herbs are designed for key parts of the body as far as cleansing, as far as getting your alkaline levels back up, getting your pH levels back up, removing metals from your body, removing harmful chemicals from your body. These are the things that will get your metabolism functioning back properly. Once your body starts to metabolize your fats again, now your workouts become more energized because you're putting things in your body that are true, that are working with your body. Your body doesn't have to spend any energy to cleanse it. So if you're putting foods that don't have to be processed, foods that after digestion, they go straight to your bloodstream for power. They go straight to your bloodstream for as far as nitrogen compounds, which many of you call proteins. They're nitrogen compounds. You know, the study that was done, the study that was done in 1914, it showed that infant lab rats grew faster consuming animal protein rather than vegetable protein. A potent campaign had been run by the meat industry to keep animal protein as the king protein. The campaign was so successful that many people don't realize plants contain protein and think it's necessary to consume meat to get these nitrogen compounds. This campaign was and is still used to promote the consumption of a Western diet, which is strongly tied to the development of chronic disease. Besides the campaign's success in making some people forget that plants contain protein, it was also successful in making many people think that plant protein was an incomplete protein. This meant that the plant protein didn't contain the 9 essential amino acids that the body doesn't produce and that must be consumed. That was a paragraph I took from Alkaline Plant Food, Chapter 2, of Brother Akil Anis. My apologies if I mispronounced that. The book is called Alkaline Herbal Medicine. I suggest many of you go purchase it. I suggest many of you look into it. Because this book not only breaks down animal protein and how that works, as he explained, you know, it was a study done. And the study was funded by the meat industry. So when something is funded by an organization or a corporation that doesn't really want to get to the bottom line of the answer, they only are performing the study so they can come up with some ridiculous conclusion. And because they have licenses and certifications now through their own school systems, their own westernized universities that promote this westernized diet and lifestyle, you know, they're still teaching this stuff to doctors and nutritionists. You know, we are to consume 1 gram of animal protein per pound of weight. So by American standards, they suggest that if you weigh 200 pounds, you should be consuming around 200 grams of protein. That's ridiculous. What if you are not expending any energy during the day? What if you don't work out during the day? I believe that a lot of these, you know, as far as macros, a lot of these numbers are extremely high. You talk about protein, you think about amino acids. Protein wasn't designed to build muscles, but that's the lie that we're being told, that if you consume protein along with training, that you will develop muscles. Look into what you're consuming. Protein, it has, you know, the synthesized version that you're consuming now in the gym, it has whey in it. It's dairy, family. Of course it's making you large. Remember who that milk was designed for, who that dairy was designed for. Anytime you eat cheese, you drink milk, you eat anything or consume anything with milk in it, you are running the risk of putting on weight. And that's just facts. Each time you put it in your body. Because people often think about the amount of foods they put in their body. Damn the amount. You don't have to worry about the amount. What is the chemical ingredient? Because once that food breaks down, it becomes a chemical. This is what affects your metabolism. This is what affects your health. It's not always the size or the portion. Sometimes as soon as you put that chemical back into your stomach, you have good bacteria and bad bacteria in your stomach. You don't want the bad to start overshadowing the good. You want it to be balanced. Now your stomach internally is acidic. The belly, the underbelly outside of the stomach is not acidic, it's alkaline. The stomach has to be acidic because it has to break down foods. Certain portions of your body internally have to be acidic because it has to break down foods. So don't get twisted in thinking that, oh, because I eat alkaline, no parts of my body are acidic. What? That doesn't make sense. Remember, balance is the key. I had to learn this myself because when learning this diet, I don't like to call it a diet. When learning the alkaline lifestyle, I had to definitely reprogram my mind as far as thinking. But I did a fast for 14 days with just water and herbs. And my purpose for doing that fast was to eliminate all toxins. And I wanted to remove all of the weight from my frame. I wanted to make my frame small again. I wanted to start my fitness and strength journey over from the base again, from the bottom, so to speak. That was the only way I felt I could have a true understanding of what it felt like to regain my strength without supplements, without animal proteins, without milk, whey, dairy, without the fat loss pills. We can't forget about the fat loss pills. They're not too dominant in today's society. People are starting to learn that diet and nutrition is the key. But the fat loss pills was killing the industry for a while. I used to buy them myself. Killing the industry. So, you know, we over time became that society. But back to the bro culture. You know, so we are in the gym, you know, and I've broken down everything as far as what they consume. So we're putting all of these chemicals in our bodies. And it definitely, you will definitely begin to take on certain characteristics of certain things that you put into your body. So besides the chemicals, if you're consuming animals on a regular basis, and we think about these animals in their last days, their final chapters, their last days, heading into that slaughterhouse, watching their relatives that's 2 and 3 cows or so in front of them, watching them go through the slaughter process and know that they are up next. When they receive these animals, they are already stressed out. They're already dealing with depression and anxiety. So no one likes to think that when you consume that meat, you are also consuming those characteristics. That now becomes part of your genetic structure. So when we look at mental health, family, I'm telling you, the foxhole gets deep. We must look at all of these things. We can't put this stuff to the side. We can't put nutrition to the side in relation to mental health. But that's not what this episode is about. I'm just saying. But in reflection back to the issue or the topic of the lab rats, 1914 with that study, you had the lab rats in 1914. Now in 2018, we have the gym rat, which they're still running experiments on. Because guess what? Many of the supplements that you take have been approved through the FDA, but they haven't been tested on humans. How can you produce a product, a synthesized product, that hasn't been tested on humans as far as its longevity, you know, as far as its long-term effect on people and their bodies? How can you put something on the market like that and sell it in mainstream stores? Of course the people trust and believe in it because it's in a mainstream store. They believe in mainstream society. That's what they believe in. So long as it's on a commercial, they see it on a shelf, they think it's good for your body because they entrust in the government that much. They entrust in what the Food and Drug Administration, they trust in what they put on the shelves. They trust that that's going to make my child healthy. If it says organic, we believe that it's 100% organic. If it says it's a fruit, we believe that it's all fruit. It's only fruit in it. If it says it's a veggie, oh, it's a veggie. We should eat it. It's going to make you healthy. Eat that broccoli. Eat that garlic. Eat that corn. Now, those three vegetables I named, guess what? They're hybridized. You know, these vegetables are in and are part of the American standard as far as diet is concerned. So to my gym culture, to my bros, to my fit chicks, to fit fam, hashtag fit guys, all of you, you know, I really admire your passion. And this is not a shot at you all. This is a wake up call because I had to go through the same thing. You know, I had made tremendous strides and gains as far as my physique. You know, I had even got to a point where I had went up to 288. I had came down to 200 pounds in diet. And that was just from a vegetarian based diet. You know, I've been on a plant-based journey. I tell people I've been on a plant-based journey for 5 years, and it was literally like going through college. You know, the first year I was removing certain foods. I got rid of all of the processed stuff. My first year I got rid of the dairy. I got rid of the cheeses. I got rid of the juices, the sodas. I got rid of, you know, of course, I stopped using supplements. I began to add more fruits and vegetables to my diet. I began to juice in the morning instead of eating that bacon, eggs, and cheese in the morning. I began to fast throughout my day and start consuming more in the evening. And some days I would fast in the morning. I would eat small meals around midday, and then I would fast again in the evening. I started to play with the intermittent fasting concept. I was beginning to allow my body to get adjusted to that. So I suggest many of you take yourselves through this phase, this journey. Give yourselves a year. If you are in mid gains, I know a lot of you have a hard, what they call hard gainers. It's hard for you to put on size, and that's okay, because I'm beginning to learn in my journey and at this point that it has nothing to do with size. Strength is developed through training of the muscles, through training of movements, and through the building and enhancing of your central nervous system. And that just comes through repetition. That comes with muscle stimulation. That comes with you just getting your CNS familiar with the movements that you're going to be performing when it comes down to these feats of strength. Strength comes from the mind, not the body. Understand that, family. So we don't have to go to the gym and we don't have to load up on all of these things. And I'm talking to the youth. I'm talking to the bros. I'm talking to, you know, this society of gym freaks that just, they want to go, they want to train for 2 to 3 hours. You know, they're in the gym, they taking selfies, you know, they taking pictures. They're in the gym for 2 and 3 hours. Of course you have to take supplements your whole workout when you train for 2 to 3 hours, because this, I'm assuming it's helping keeping your adrenaline up. It's keeping you pumped up for a sustained period of time. Because y'all in the gym for 2 and 3 hours, I'm in there for 45 minutes. Tops. If my workout is an hour, I'm in there bullshitting. Because that's just the style of training that I like. Some days I go in there and I power lift. Even when I do my powerlifting routines, I still do them at a pace. I don't take 2 to 3 minutes in between my sets. And it may have something to do with the amount of weight I'm lifting. I haven't reached the point of, I haven't got back to the 500 club yet. And that's my goal, to get back to the 500 club as far as deadlift, as far as bench pressing. I think my max bench press, even when I was a big guy, was in the fours. So if I can get my bench back in the fours, if I can get my deadlift back in the fives, if I can get my squat back in the fives, but this time I'm coming with a different perspective. This time I'm bringing conditioning with me, because last time I was lifting those weights, I wasn't in shape. I didn't have any condition. So now I'm bringing conditioning with me. Now I'm bringing a full functioning nervous system. I'm bringing full functioning arteries, veins, blood flow, oxygen, mental focus, mind muscle connection. All of those things are there because my diet has changed. So now I feel like the gorilla in the gym now. Even when I come in there as the little guy, I feel like the gorilla. My hand strength, my grip strength, it's impeccable. It's amazing because I'm eating foods now that have true mineral content. So now I feel strong. I have iron. I have calcium in my system. Now we're introducing minerals and key elements to our diet and our lifestyle. This is important, family. Because when you're training, you're constantly tearing down your muscles. You're constantly tearing down your bones. So you have to replenish them. So if you want to talk supplements, the only supplement that we're going to talk about is sea moss. And they consider sea moss a natural mineral supplement. But guess what? It's from the Creator. The Creator put it here for us. I believe it's over 92 of the 102 minerals we need. A fountain sea moss, Irish moss. That's amazing. So I started to drink these teas. I started to add bladderwrax and sea moss together. This is one of Dr. Sabi's blends that he will always talk about in his videos. So I tried it. I got it. I tried it. I love it. I drink it every day. Bladderwrax and sea moss. I have it at least one time a day. One cup at least one time a day. Bladderwrax is very important when it comes down to reducing the size of the thyroids. See, once the thyroid becomes enlarged, that's when you deal with issues with blood pressure. So we must reduce the size of the thyroid. We must remove the mucous membranes, or get the mucous membranes in a healthier state, because they become inflamed. So we must remove all of the inflammation. We must remove all of the mucus from the body so all of your departments can start working properly again, meaning your organs, everything can start functioning properly. See, when your organs have mucus and inflammation around them, they're not receiving the electrical signals from your central nervous system that they're designed to receive. You know, you have a disruption. You have some separation in there. So when you're putting these foods into your body and your body is, you know, is dealing with this separation, of course you don't feel strong in the gym. Of course you don't feel energized in the gym. You have to call on these supplements. You have to call on aid from these vitamins. And all of them are placebos. You believe in them more than you believe in yourself. You truly can go into a lot of the gyms and you can try to gut your workout out sometime. Have any of you ever tried that? And I'm talking to my bro science culture, my fit fam, my get fit chicks society. Have you ever just went in there while you felt like shit and just train? Just try it sometime. Because you'll find that the whole rule of adaptation start to kick in. You know, your body will start to adapt and understand that, yes, I'm in here training. Now, if you feel like shit sometimes, of course, you're going to take a little bit. You're going to take a little bit back. If you choose to go that route, I'm only talking to the pro science people because these people go to the gym every day. You know, this community of gym enthusiasts, they're in the gym every day. They don't believe in periodization. They don't believe in rest days. It's no days off, balls to the wall. Every time I go in there, I'm screaming, yelling, ah! I'm pumping all these weights, ah! When I deadlift now, I have on a different type of music. I may have on meditation music because I'm trying to channel in. I don't need rock. I don't need hardcore rap. I don't need you to slap me on my back. I don't need you to put ammonia under my nose to get me fired up before my lift. That's creating habits that you will always have to repeat before you go to lift. No, instead, I want my body as even keel and as pleasant as possible as I go into that lift. I want my mind to be clear when I go into my lift. So with that, you know, like I said, we have to start to change some of the bad habits culturally that we are doing, you know. So this podcast, this being the first podcast, you know, I wanted to talk about that protein myth. I wanted to destroy the concept of the whole protein myth. So I hope I've done that. It's unnecessary to consume an excessive amount of animal protein or animal proteins, period. We should not be slaughtering. We shouldn't have to slaughter our animals to get protein. We don't even need that much protein, family. It's days when I literally can say I'm not consuming some of the nitrogen compound foods that we consume. Foods that we consume for quote-unquote proteins. But nitrogen compounds is what you should be researching, family. Look into nitrogen compounds and what plants consume high levels of nitrogen compounds. What alkaline grains consume high levels of nitrogen compounds. Start looking into your quinoas, you know, your legumes like chickpeas. We only do chickpeas. We don't really do a whole lot of legumes because of the process. Many of them go to develop them, you know, are not too trusted by the alkaline community. So we do chickpeas. We do organic wild rice. We do organic quinoa. The portobello mushrooms has a nice source of aminos. The avocado has a nice source of aminos. And those two also have a nice source of healthy fats. Because I am learning that the healthy fats that's what's shaping the muscle. But society has taught us that the protein is what shapes the muscle. No, the aminos help you recover. They're for recovery. And they're to keep the muscle sustained amount of energy. It doesn't really have anything to do with the bulking of size. That happens when you're consuming protein that contains whey. Protein that is from cow. So I just wanted to reiterate that. But this is the first episode, family. I hope everyone enjoyed it. I hope everyone learned some things. I plan on building on these episodes. We're going to start one a little longer. We're going to try to bring in some health professionals from the city that I entrust, that I would like to share my information, and they can discuss their information, and we can start making things make sense for society, because that's how it's going to happen. You know, if I look at an industry as being a certain industry as being negative, I can't come to that industry with negativity expecting change. I have to come to and in that industry with respect for what they do as I
as I come into it with positivity, I'm assuming that you mean well for well by people, even though I see that it's not doing good by people. But I have to have these discussions with individuals so they can start looking at things in a different light. When I talk to my clients, when I have consultations with my clients, they have to, you know, I'm putting everything in a different light. So now that they're looking at what they're putting in their bodies, and they're being compassionate about what's going on with the process. And that's all I want people to do. Because once you unlock that, once you turn that leaf, so to speak, that green leaf, you start having love again. You start being affectionate again. You start realizing you're removing the estrogen and all of these chemical hormones from your system that had you upset. So keep working, family. You know, to my bros, my bro science guys, to my fit family, to my protein lovers, I still love all of you. And I'm not shooting any shots. I'm giving this information because I was in the same shoes that you're in, and I hope that you try to work towards changing or making some change in your diet and in your lifestyle. And that will make your journey, your fitness journey, 5 times easier, 10 times, 100 times easier. You know, you have to love what you do. Ultimately, you have to be passionate, but we want to start doing things with intelligence. That's the only way that we're going to change this paradigm as far as this unhealthy society. I just don't understand how the health and fitness industry makes so much, and how the pharmaceutical industry makes so much, and there's so many people still sick and dying from those particular issues. You know, is people still not in shape? Is people still not motivated to get up off of their hind parts? Is people still dealing with chronic diseases and illness that the pills and prescriptions that they prescribe to supposed to help heal them or help reverse their illness and disease, and all it's doing is just putting another bill over their head? You know, you have single individuals paying thousands of dollars for prescriptions. Millions, I'm sorry. So you have an individual, they may pay a total of $1 million in insurance prescriptions and medications before they pass. That's $1 million I've received from you. You pass, you go your way, I go my way. That's like the drug dealer selling some drugs or something to somebody. The drugs being bad and the person wound up dying from them. Hey, you know, you got your drugs, I got my money, you go your way, I go my way. We keep it moving. So wake up, family. I love y'all. Until next time, peace and love.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.